Others followed close behind, soldiers filling the hallway that led to the bridge, all clad in blue Arcadian bodysuits, the white three-triangle badge of the Mirabelle patrolmen on their chests. They held silver rifles against their stomachs and satisfied grins on their faces. Andy was all too familiar with those rifles and the small electric orbs they released. One shot would paralyze its victim, rendering them helpless against capture by the patrolmen. "Hello, boys," Andy said. Arcadian or not, she'd see the badges of those who wouldn't back down stained with blood. It was her crew or her past and, her soul be damned, she would always choose her crew. "We can do this the easy way or the hard way," the soldier in front said, his voice calm and cool, as if he were making pleasant conversation. "Ah," Andy laughed, "but see, you just interfered with my ship. I don't take too kindly to that." Her attention was pulled away from the man in front of her by the sound of boots tapping against metal. The patrolman turned sharply to attention as their commander approached. This was the man who had bested her. This was the man she'd have to kill today. As he approached, Andy's chest tightened at the sight of him, tall and muscular, and perfectly honed for fighting. "It's him," said a small, frightened voice in her mind. Then, as if confirming her suspicions, he stepped out of the darkness, like a demon emerging from hell. The purest shock spiked in Andy's veins. Then it melted into fury.
"You!" she growled.
"Me," Dex said with a shrug.
"You're supposed to be dead," Andy whispered. "I left you."
"Left me to die?" Dex lifted a brow. She remembered every inch of the angular white constellation tattoos twisting their way across his brown skin, the feel of his strong hands on her body. The memory of him, the pain of her shattered heart, it all twisted into boiling rage as she stared at him, alive and free, on her ship. Andy's swords crackled, purple light arcing around the fierce blades. Beside her, the rest of the marauders tensed and readied themselves for a fight.
"I'm going to kill you," Andy whispered.
"You can try," Dex said, shrugging, his once captivating brown eyes sparkling with laughter. "But we both know how that will turn out."
She screamed and charged straight at him, not giving a damn if there were 20 or even 100 heavily armed Arcadian soldiers blocking her path. She was going to drown Dexarez in his own blood.
Chapter 6 Dex. It wasn't exactly the reunion Dex had hoped for. It's not like he imagined Androma running into his arms and kissing him with the passion of lovers parted for years. Their last moments together hadn't exactly gone well. What with the whole Andy soaring away with Dex's ship, leaving him bleeding and dying on a barren moon thing. Then again, he had sold her out to the patrolman for her crimes, knowing she'd be sentenced to death upon returning to her home planet. Love was all well and good, but money was the true key to Dex's heart. Still, for what Androma did to him, he should hate her, should want her dead. But seeing her before him, melting into rage and riot, the smooth metal implants on her cheekbones reflecting the electricity that swam around her swords, God's stars, she was magnificent, a creature who had released her wrath on the world. It would be worth every drop of blood about to be shed to be the one who finally brought her to the general's feet. But as her blades crackled in the too quiet room and waves of electricity spiraled around them, Dex wondered if he'd made a mistake. He hadn't seen her in years, but he'd heard the rumors. He hadn't known if she truly could wield those weapons with a glory and grace that drew blood and split bones. But now, as Androma rasped, "I'm going to kill you," and her words sent a slice of regret cutting through Dex's heart, he knew. Gone was the young woman he'd once known, that shivering thing he'd found bruised and broken in the markets of Yulveca. In her place stood the warrior he'd trained and hardened and turned into something devilishly delicious. Dex reached for his gun as the bloody Baroness attacked. The world slowed, but Andy moved like a flash of light. She hurtled her way through the first wave of patrolmen before they could blink, lashing out her swords, removing smoking limbs from bodies as they screamed and succumbed to the trademark agony of the bloody Baroness. Her white hair sprung loose from its braid, the dyed purple streaks almost a blur as she whirled and leaped. She knocked her Virilian cuffs into faces, drawing bursts of blood, and kicked her legs out, toppling her opponents like stars falling from the sky. The patrolmen finally regained their wits and lifted their rifles to shoot. An unfortunate weapon they'd chosen, for as soon as they loosed their bullets, the girls dove behind Breck's towering form. The bullets pinged off her skin, flattening and falling to the floor. Bless her new Vaden blood, her bulletproof skin.
"You're going to have to do better than that, gentlemen,"
Breck said, hands on her hips, the girl still protected behind her.
"What, you've never shot at a new Vaden before?"
"Take them out!" Dex shouted. "Save Androma for me."
His words sent a spike of rage straight through Andy's heart. He threatened her crew. For that, his life and the lives of the patrolmen were now forfeit.
"Forward!"
she shouted. Breck moved, and the girls followed behind as bullets continued to barrage her chest. Useless. A ball of white light shot past Andy's shoulder. An enemy was blasted backward, already a corpse as he slammed into the doorframe.
"Oh, that was a good shot,"
Gilly said, giggling and brandishing her double-trigger gun. One trigger killed, one disabled. She blew smoke away from the barrel and grinned as she ducked back behind Breck.
"I want the floor stained with their blood!" Andy yelled to her crew above the chaos.
Gone were her emotions, gone was her heart. The killing mask of the Baroness slid into place. Patrolmen dropped around them as the girls attacked, lunging out from behind Breck's body at random. Andy swung her swords, lashing out with a fury she kept locked inside for moments just like this. Years of dancing and training at the academy had turned her body into a fluid, ferocious thing. A patrolman turned his rifle around and swung it at Breck's head.
"Take him!"
Andy roared. Gilly unloaded her gun on the man. Behind them, Lyra flipped, twisted. She was a blur of glowing, scaled skin and black bodysuit. Fists cracking jaws, legs locking around throats. They moved forward, leaving moaning bodies in their wake, silenced soon after by Gilly's gun and Breck's whip as the fight carried on into the hall. Still, the remaining patrolmen fought on.
"Take them all down!"
Andy commanded her girls as she sliced a patrolman's hand off at the wrist. Breck scooped up the gun still clutched in the hand before it could hit the floor and fired it. Silver blood exploded against the metal wall beyond.
"But remember, Dex is mine!"
He was standing there, beyond the wave of his fighting men, staring at her as she came out from behind Breck's protection. A patrolman shot. Andy lifted her arms. The bullet slammed against her Virilium cuffs before it could lodge itself into her throat.
"Take care of him,"
she said as the bullet clattered to the floor. Breck was suddenly beside her, twisting the man's neck with a glorious pop, music to Andy's ears. Now there were only three men between Andy and her enemy. They stood at the ready, guns out, a solid line in front of Dex. She could see his shadowed outline leaning up against the metal wall of the hallway beyond, his stance so cool and casual it made her want to tear his eyes out.
"What's wrong, Dex? You don't want to come out and play with me?"
Andy said, her voice a dangerous purr. Dex chuckled, his mahogany hair falling across one brown eye as he stepped forth to meet her gaze.
"You were always one for theatrics, Androma. My little bitter ballerina."
"I am not and never will be yours."
"We'll see about that."
"These three can live,"
she said, nodding her head at the final patrolman.
"It's you I want to fight with, Dextro."
She saw his brow furrow at the use of his full name. Definitely not a name one would associate with a Tenebran guardian, let alone with the most notorious bounty hunter in Mirabel.
"Is that mercy I hear?"
Dex smiled as he walked backward, stopping at the silver ladder that led to the deck below. his fingers curled over the railing, his boots poised over the hole in the floor.
"Surely not from the bloody Baroness."
"Don't pretend you know me,"
Andy retorted.
"Though they did invade my ship, and since they insist on protecting you..."
With a crackle of her swords, she lunged forward and cut off three heads in one scissoring slice. The bodies sagged, then landed in a heap at Andy's feet. The familiar scent of singed flesh wafted up to her nose, and with it a stab of regret that she buried deep. Dex blinked once, his only reaction thus far, and Andy's blood raged at his air of nonchalance.
"They were a terrible crew," he said.
Then he slipped down the ladder. Andy, after holstering one blade, charged after him, not even bothering to use the footholds as she slid down. She landed with a slight thud before turning toward the long corridor behind her.
"Andy, Andy," Dex said. "So predictable."
She froze. "Your running is over," a little devil in her mind hissed. In front of her was another cluster of Arcadian guards, guns trained on her. At the head of them was Dex, a smug grin plastered across his face. She'd walked right into his trap for the second time today. Dex would have patted himself on the back if not for the crowd of patrolmen around him.
"Are you ready to talk, or do you want to kill a few more of my men?"
he asked, knowing Andy had no choice but to obey. She was vastly outnumbered, no matter how skilled she was with those swords. Not unless she wanted to be shot by hundreds of paralyzing light bullets before she could take a single step. The look she gave him would have made a lesser man cringe, but he stared straight into those light gray eyes, meeting her challenge head on. She said nothing. Instead, she holstered her remaining blade and crossed her arms over her black suit, the glowing cuffs on her forearms catching his eye. He'd paid for those Virilian cuffs himself, a gift that had saved her life 10 times over. They were unbreakable, just like her swords, but the cuffs weren't just an accessory. They held together the burned flesh on her wrists from an accident long ago. She didn't have the privilege of seeing a doctor at the time, so her skin had become damaged beyond repair. Without Dex's gift, she wouldn't have the full function of her wrists and forearms, likely wouldn't have the strength to lift those swords she was so fond of. It gave him a sick kind of pleasure to know she still had the cuffs, a reminder of his kindness to her when she was at her weakest, a part of him she could never shed from herself. Dex turned to the blue-uniformed guard standing closest to her.
"Take her weapons."
The burly, horned man looked like he would rather jump out the airlock.
"Now!"
Dex said more sharply, and the guard rushed to action. Andy spat in the man's face as he pulled her swords out of their harness and the gun out of her thigh holster.
"You're going to regret this," Andy said,
her voice low and menacing. He glared at her with red and white striped eyes.
"I'm not so sure that I will."
She looked up behind her to where the rest of the marauders were grouped at the top of the ladder.
"If they move, my guards will shoot."
Dex waved a hand, and half the men angled their light rifles upward toward Andy's motionless crew. The pilot from the Adhira, the giantess beside her, and the red-headed child glaring down at Dex with all the cold calculation of a seasoned killer. He wouldn't show mercy toward them if they continued to fight, and he knew Andy sensed that. She looked up at her crew and said,
"Stand down. Do what he says."
"We can take them, Andy. They're not..."
Lyra started.
"That's enough, Lyra,"
Andy growled.
"It's over."
He knew she hated to say those words. Dex clapped his hands.
"Now that is the drama I've been waiting for."
Satisfied, he turned toward two guards with badges adorning their uniforms. It took a hell of a lot of work to attain Arcadian officer status, and yet here these two were, bowing their heads to Dex's every command.
"Officer Hurley, your squad will guard the crew. Officer Fraser, follow me and bring your men to guard Captain Rosella."
They made their way down the long metal corridor. The blue light from Andy's cuffs bounced along the hallway. 4 guards surrounded Andy like a box, while the other 2 were positioned on each end of the line. Six men plus Dex would be enough. She wouldn't fight while her crew was in danger. As they walked, Dex's memories took over, his body moving on instinct through the familiar halls of the ship. They passed several doors before stopping at the glass door that led to the meeting room. Dex placed his hand on the scanner next to the door, but it remained as dead as the rest of the ship. Andy grinned smugly. Dex smiled back, lifted his gun, and shot the glass. A growl rumbled up through her chest, but Dex simply shrugged and said,
"I can replace it. The Marauder is mine again."
Then he stepped over the shattered glass and into the room.
"Set up the box."
He stepped aside as the guards brought in a thin silver box no longer than his forearm. The symbol of Arcadius, an exploding star, was engraved on the side. They set the box on the table and lined up against the back wall of the room, hauling Andy with them.
"Please, do take a seat,"
Dex said to Andy, sweeping his arm out in a grand gesture.
"I am nothing if not a good host."
Disgust flashed in her eyes. She did not sit. Instead, she stood with her back up against the wall, her gray eyes roving left and right. Dex had taught her well.
"Suit yourself," he said,
walking to the opposite side of the conference table, where he plopped down into a chair. The tension in the room was a living beast. Dex could practically feel it breathing down his neck, so he leaned back in his chair, propped his boots up on the glass table next to the box, and focused all his attention on Andy. She glared at him, cold as the metal wall she leaned against.
"What the hell do you want?"
Oh, this was good. Better than good. It was the best damned thing Dex had experienced in years. For 4 years, Andy had been on the run from the fate that awaited her on Arcadius. High-ranking, war-hardened soldiers had been sent to track her down. Other criminals capable of slinking through the shadows had tried to find her. Even the general himself and his personal specter guards had gone out looking a time or two. But after every effort, every crev spent to discover the fugitive, Dex had been the one to catch her. Fate was a beautiful thing.
"Just a moment now,"
he said, relishing this time, the feel of Andy's eyes boring into his.
"We have another guest joining us before we start."
Dex waited for her onslaught of questions and was surprised when none came. She simply stood there, hands balled into fists at her sides, stabbing at him with her cold, unfeeling stare.
"Relax, Andy," Dex drawled. "You used to love spending time alone with me."
He knew they were anything but alone, with four guards stationed around the room and two just outside the shattered door, but it felt as if they were. Just like that fateful day on the Fire Moon.
"You don't know anything about what I used to love," Andy said.
She narrowed her eyes, and he waited for her to serenade him with the list of colorful words she loved using, some that Dex had taught her himself, when the box suddenly chimed. A funnel of light shone out of its side onto the blank wall at the front of the room. This pulled their attention away from each other and toward the man whose face appeared across from them on the wall. Andy went rigid. For the first time today, despite everything Dex had thrown at her, she actually looked stricken, shocked, pained.
"Hello, Androma," the man on the screen said. "I've been searching for you for a very, very long time."
Dex smiled. This was worth more than all the crevs in the galaxy.
Chapter 7 Androma. "General Cortaz," Andy gasped. She practically fell into a chair, her legs going weak beneath her. The general's face had haunted Andy for the past 4 years, sworn to destroy her in every dream, sometimes in her waking moments, too. She was at a loss for words. The last time she'd laid eyes on General Cyprian Cortaz, she'd been a desperate girl in chains, seated alone at the trial where she was convicted for the death of his daughter. Kaylee. All the tallies on her swords combined couldn't cover up the pain of that first death. Guilt brewed in her gut, and Andy was sucked back into her memories, back to that fateful night on Arcadius. wind in her hair, the kiss of freedom coating her skin as she sprinted through the hallways, Kaylee beside her. Laughter bubbling between them as they snuck onto the general's personal transport ship. The click of Kaylee's harness, buckled tight in the co-pilot's seat, and Andy's nervous laughter again as she looked at her charge, the girl she was sworn to protect. "Are you sure about this?" Andy asked, her fingers curled over the throttle. Kaylee lifted a pale brow, a smile tugging at her lips. "As my best friend and personal specter, I command you to do this, Androma." The engine purred as Andy started it up. A feeling of excitement coursed through her at the sound. Kaylee smiled. "For once in your life, have some real fun."
"I have to admit you've looked better," General Cortaz said, yanking Andy back into the present, leaving her breathless beneath the man's stare. The burn scars on her wrists ached beneath her cuffs. Stars above. All these years, she'd tried to suppress the memories, only to have them brought back with a sudden cruelty as sharp as a whip. The man in front of her was a victim of her foolishness. Beside her was the man who'd rejected her love. The two of them, together? It was nearly enough to shatter Andy. She forced her eyes up at the screen, grateful her crew wasn't here to share this moment. She could feel them now, trying to reach her, but she denied them access each time a request pinged into her comm. Some things a captain had to face alone. The general had aged since she last saw him. His once brown hair was now peppered with gray, and wrinkles creased his sun-worn skin. His body looked tired, though his brilliant blue eyes sparkled with the very same scrutiny he'd always had. "You're the one behind all of this?" Andy asked, forgetting the formal deference she'd been trained to show this man since birth. "I'm a very powerful man, Androma." The general of Arcadius was seated at a silver desk. Behind him, a large window showed a spectacular view. The sight pained her, and yet she couldn't look away. Arcadius. Waterfalls flowed over a floating gravirock into streams far below. A vast landscape of color stretched as far as the eye could see, dotted with glimmering glass structures that made up the capital city of Voronis. This was the planet she was no longer able to call home. Even from here, she could see the domed glass building in the center, the academy, where she and thousands of other military students had trained. It was also the place where she'd learned to dance, where she'd been introduced to the throttle of a ship after she'd chosen piloting as her military training path. It was there, at the academy, that her greatest dreams were born. She'd been handpicked to become a personal specter for the general's daughter, a status most Darkardians only dreamed of achieving. She'd spent every second by Kaylee's side afterward. Until the crash. Until her very public death sentence, with millions of hateful eyes watching, deeming her a traitor. "What do you want from me?" Andy asked now. For a while, the general said nothing. He worked his stubbled jaw back and forth, as if chewing on a thought he wasn't sure he should share. His chest was peppered with glowing silver and gold beacons, heavy with the weight of the accomplishments and medals he'd acquired during his long reign as the military leader of Arcadius. "I'd like to kill you the way you killed my daughter," Andy imagined him saying. "I'd like to give you the traitor's death sentence you truly deserve." A million possibilities, all of them grim, and all of them well-deserved, filling Andy's gut with another layer of guilt, another bit of heaviness to carry with her to the grave. But when the general spoke, his words weren't of punishment or death. "You've been quite busy since we last met." He snapped his fingers, and a cyborg woman shuffled forward from the corner of the room. Her head was bald and smooth, bits of metal interspersed with artificial flesh, similar to Andy's cheekbones. The cyborg held a holoscreen out to the general, which flickered to life in his hands. "Blood stains the skies above Pazus," General Cortaz read from the screen. He tilted it ever so slightly, and Andy could make out the telltale red and gold title of a news feed. She sunk low in her chair, remembering that story. It had gone viral across Mirabel. The general sighed before continuing. 2 black market ships were shot down in the sky 16 months ago, which ended many lives when the debris fell onto a Paisian village. Black market arms dealers paid you a large sum to haul their weapons for them, and when things got a little complicated,
You attacked your enemy's ships without thinking twice about what destruction it would cause. She took complete responsibility for those deaths. She'd never thought the debris would get through the atmosphere in such large pieces, let alone hit one of the few settlements on Pezus.
You were never caught, General Cortas said, his voice low. But I knew it was you. That's what you do, Androma. You leave a path of chaos in your wake, and you don't ever look back to see whose lives were ended because of it.
His blue eyes flashed at her. Worlds away, and Andy still withered beneath that icy stare. But she refused to take his bait, to breathe out a word that this man could twist and turn on her in an instant. The general tapped the screen again, and another headline materialized, this one with a photograph of the Marauder in all of its beryllium-sided glory.
The Bloody Baroness, General Cortas said, setting down the screen, is mentioned in 13 cases since last year, 6 of those involving numerous deaths. And I have no doubt, Androma, that there are many more cases that went unnoticed. You are one of the most notorious criminals in all of Mirabel.
He sighed and shifted in his seat.
Which is why I hired Dextro to find you.
Then get on with it, Andy said. The words poured out of her, unable to stay locked inside any longer. Give me the injection like you really wanted to all those years ago. It was her mistake that led to Kaylee's painful death, and it was only by a twist of fate that Andy escaped joining her charge. Andy looked back at the general. If you wish to kill me, go ahead, but let my crew go free. I'll take the blame for our crimes in Mirabel, all of them. If this is about... She couldn't bring herself to say the name. Her scars ached again at thoughts of the past. If this is about your daughter, it was an accident, General. A mistake.
I'm not here to speak of the past, the general snapped. His voice was pained, and he took a deep breath before speaking again. I'm a powerful man, Androma, but a desperate one.
Desperate for what? Andy asked. To finally see me die? General Cortas leaned back, wincing as if in some hidden pain, and folded his hands on top of the silver desk.
I'm not here for revenge, he said.
Andy blinked in surprise. Then what is it you want? The general sighed.
I'd like to offer you a job.
Andy almost fell out of her chair. I'm sorry, what? She didn't know what else to say, or even what to think, so she waited for him to continue.
It is desperation, Androma, that brings me to this. And believe me, the general said, glancing at Dex, who had been sitting silently with his feet still propped up on the table. I have exhausted every other option.
Dex winked, and Andy couldn't fathom why General Cortas wanted Dex to be his personal bounty hunter on this job. Probably just to spite her. He was the general of the strongest military planet in Mirabel. Surely he had other operatives. The general continued.
My son, Valin, went missing 2 years ago.
I remember, Andy said with a curt nod. How could she forget? Valin, Kaylee's older brother, with his dark hair and soft hazel eyes. He had always been kind, but he'd never spoken more than a few fleeting words to Andy each time she visited Kaylee's floating estate on Arcardius. Except for that night. He'd seen them sneaking out and tried to stop them, only for Kaylee to put him in his place as they slipped out the door of the sprawling Cortas estate. That was the last time Andy ever saw him. He hadn't shown up to court when she was on trial for Kaylee's death. 2 years later, Valin Cortas disappeared in the night, all traces of him whisked away. Though there was no sign of a struggle, General Cortas swore it was a kidnapping, carried out by a skilled group trained to leave no trace behind. The news had spread like wildfire across Arcardius, and then into the skies to the leaders of every other inhabited planet, moon, and satellite city in Mirabel.
We suspected a mercenary from Zenterra took him, General Cortas said. But there haven't been any ransom demands.
No responses to our inquiries. I would have stormed their planet when he was first taken, but we couldn't risk upsetting the peace treaty between our part of the galaxy and theirs. 10 years still remain until the treaty ends. He paused. Grief made his voice heavy. 2 years after losing one child, the other had been snatched from him, too. Again, the guilt clawed at Andy from inside.
So what do you want me to do? She asked carefully.
If I remember correctly, there was never much of a trail to begin with, and surely all traces of him are long gone by now. The general leaned forward in his chair. 2 months ago, one of our satellites picked up a signal from Zenterra's prison moon, Lunamare. The message was in Arcardian military code, which you no doubt remember from your time serving. Andy inclined her head. I remember. So many nights, she had stayed awake inside her quarters in Averia while Kaylee was asleep. Glowing screens laid scattered across her desk alongside military manuals and scribbled notes and failed attempts at decoding the strange ancient symbols. She'd always excelled at weapons training, but hadn't taken as much care in honing her mind. But a specter was expected to learn all things, and learn them well. I was teaching the code to Valin before the kidnapping. General Cortaz ran a hand through his graying hair. There has been no word since, but we feel strongly it is Valin. The message was a specific word I gave him to decode just before he was taken. Andy listened intently. After all this time, most believed Valin Cortaz to be dead. There were rumors that he'd run of his own accord and was hiding out on some distant tropical moon, far from his father's clutches and the strict military life of Arcardius. Others suspected he'd been too wounded by his sister's death and simply hid away in the darkness of the estate. The kidnapping, Andy had always suspected, was the real truth. "Why are you telling me all of this?" she asked.
"Because I want you to recover him."
It was an effort not to let her jaw drop.
"I don't..." Andy fumbled for the right words. "I can't..."
"You can't?" The general barked out a laugh. "The bloody Baroness does whatever she wants, even stealing a starship in the middle of the night, crashing it into the side of a mountain and slaughtering an innocent girl in the process, one she was sworn to protect."
Andy sucked in a breath. Her chest felt split in two.
"She was to be my heir," General Cortaz whispered, "and you stole her from me, from my wife, from my people."
My people. They were once Andy's people, too. Her throat was dry as a husk, her heart hammering against it. But killing Kaylee, even by accident, had been an act of treason. There was nothing to say, nothing she could do to take back what she'd done. So she focused on the present.
"Why me?" Andy asked. "There are a million patrolmen or soldiers you could offer the job to."
"Not without starting a war," the general said.
It made sense. The Mirabelle patrolmen couldn't just waltz into a Zenterran prison and steal a prisoner out from under the guards without violating the terms of the treaty. The agreement was meant to prevent further war between Zentara and the galaxy's other major systems, Prime, Stuna, Tavina, and Flexos. Galactic peace had always required a careful balancing act between each system, and when the All-End system rebelled, it had upset that balance. The unified systems couldn't risk an upset again. But a pirate, not officially affiliated with any side. The general tapped his fingers against the desk, drawing Andy's attention back to the screen.
"There is, of course, another option."
Andy raised her eyebrows, and General Cortaz smiled.
"I could send you and your entire crew to the pits of Tenebris to serve out a life sentence for the crimes you've committed. Murder, robbery, forgery, arson."
He ticked off each word on the tips of his fingers. "Dare I go on? I can bury you all, so dark and so deep, that you will never see the sun again."
Andy sucked in a breath. The pits of Tenebris were where the hardest of criminals were imprisoned, those even worse than Andy. Men and women who took sick pleasure in torturing and killing innocents.
"Or," the general said, "your slate could be wiped clean, if and only if you bring my son back to me. Alive."
"Clean?" Andy asked.
"You mean..."
General Cortaz met her eyes.
"I will pardon you for your crimes, lift your death sentence. You could return to Arcardius, Androma."
"Home." Andy's mind whispered. A thousand memories suddenly unlocked, poured into her from the place she'd kept them safely hidden away. Her mother, twirling in a circle as a silver gown blossomed around her, her freshly painted nails shining under the chandelier light as she pressed a soft hand to Andy's cheek and whispered, "My daughter, protecting the general's heir, a true Arcardian dream."
her father later that night, praising Andy as she blocked his attack. "You've been practicing without me," he said, hands flexing as he lunged forward and she slipped easily past him. Arcadius, full of warmth and laughter and beauty. Arcadius, full of Kaylee's screams and blood on Andy's hands. Hot and wrong and... Andy blocked the memory like a hit before it could fully form. For years, she'd been a soldier without a home, always on the run, too afraid to slow down for fear that the past would catch up to her. She'd turned herself into a criminal to survive, set aside her honor in exchange for her life. Now she had a chance to eliminate the past, to find some honest work and stability for her crew. "That's it?" she asked. She crossed her arms over her chest. The general nodded. "That's it." Andy narrowed her eyes. There had to be a catch, some hidden detail that General Cortaz wasn't revealing. But she was out of choices. Her crew was somewhere in this very ship, surrounded by armed guards. One wrong move and she'd have their blood on her hands, too. She wouldn't be able to come back from that. "Swear it," Andy said. The general raised a brow, his lips tightened together. "Swear it as you once made me swear," Andy continued, "the Arcadian vow." For a time, General Cortaz simply stared at her. She imagined he was living through the same memory she was. A different time, a very different place, the two of them standing face to face inside the shard. A sharp, crystalline tower that captured the sun and cast it across the room like living fire. "I vow my life and my blood to protect Kaylee Cortaz," Andy said. General Cortaz turned to face her, pride blazing in his eyes. She would not let him down. The memory faded, and Andy met the general's eyes as he recited the vow. "I vow my life and my blood to honor the terms of our deal." Andy crossed her arms, cuffs clinking together. "When do we leave?" The general signaled for the cyborg woman again, who glided back to his side and straightened his sleek jacket as he stood. "I want my son back as soon as possible." "My ship needs repairs," Andy said, "and we'll need supplies. Enough for twice the haul to the Olen system and back, just in case we run into problems." The job wasn't going to take that long, but she might as well get supplies while she could. "You'll have what you need," General Cortaz said with a curt nod. "I'll also need more ammunition," Andy said, remembering her promise to Lyra before this all began. They would need it if they encountered the Olen system's rover ships. "There's no telling what Queen Nor will throw at us once we gain entry to her system, let alone when we reach Lunamare." At that, the general smiled and looked not at Andy, but at Dex. "The bounty hunter will take care of that for you," General Cortaz said, his voice dripping with sick satisfaction, "since he'll be joining you on your mission."
Chapter 8 Claren, Year 16 The girl stood in her tower, bathed in darkness. So many years she'd waited, so many dreams she'd endured. The girl had grown 18 years strong. Tonight she was a willing, worthy sacrifice, with blood the color of the silver weapon hidden in the folds of her cloak. She could feel more than see the other yielded around her, a trio of bodies each to her left and to her right, as they all watched the conduits swirl far below. The girl lifted her chin a little higher. She would not tremble like the yielded to her left. She would not boast like the yielded to her right. Tonight she would conquer the yielding. And then she would conquer the world beyond this tower. The wind at her back, the fire of hope igniting inside her veins. From the moment of her birth, the girl had known it would be her path to pave. Her journey to take through the conduit. "When will it begin?" one of the others asked. "When will we be chosen?" The girl waited, watching the swirling sea below. It spread as far as she could see, a blanket of black made thicker by the absence of the moon. She sensed it a moment before it began. "There!" one of the yielded whispered. "It begins!" A single blue flame flickered to life in the center of the sea. The color spread, churning, until the conduit looked like a raging whirlpool of hues. A sea of darkness transformed into sweeping, glittering light. Around her, the yield shifted, breaths released. Hands began to shake, but the girl's heart simply fluttered, as if sensing what was soon to come. She'd already seen it in her dreams. She watched, eyes unblinking, as the conduit began to stretch, sending floating orbs of its light into the sky. They trailed higher, catching the wind, dancing like souls released to the stars. Soon the orbs would shift. Soon they would choose the one worthy of the journey. The girl was ready. Reaching into the folds of her cloak as the orbs began to form a trail in the sky. They rose, higher, higher, like the tail of a blazing star. When they got high enough, they would reach the top of the tower, and then they would choose. The girl's dreams told her it would be her, but she had to be certain. She would not leave the hope of her people up to fate. As the first orbs began to reach the top of the tower, she slid the blade from her cloak. It was silent, not even a hiss as it grazed across the sleek fabric. "The dreams are true," she whispered. Then she went about the room, sliding her blade across yielded throats, taking precious lives. It was too easy, just as her dreams had promised. Each year there would be more yieldings, more chosen, but she would now be the first. When the girl was done, crumpled bodies silent at her feet, she stepped over them. As she pressed her bloody palms to the glass of the tower, steam swam across it like a cloud. Outside, the orbs from the conduit had gathered in the sky to form an arrow, lighting her up like a beacon, revealing her to the thousands of beings gathered far below. She could feel them roar, so loudly the glass trembled, as she was chosen. The yielding was over. The conduit had chosen. And only the girl remained.
Chapter 9 Dex.
"The hell I am!"
Dex leaped to his feet, that old, sagging, sneaking bastard. "Will that be an issue, Dextro?" The general smiled like a Solaran ice wolf, pale blue eyes crinkling at the corners as he looked to Dex. "You will be joining Androma on her mission to make sure she stays in line and doesn't escape. I've already lost one child to her foolishness. I won't lose another." Dex cursed inwardly. He should have known better than to scheme with the general of Arcardius after all that he'd heard about the man, the decorated soldier with the ability to weasel his way into getting what he wanted by twisting words and blackmailing anyone who stood in his way, an ability few witnessed but many whispered about. General Cyprian Cortas was a walking, talking hypocrite of the Arcardian way of honor.
"We had a deal,"
Dex said through gritted teeth. "And the deal will still be honored. The terms have simply been..." The general waved a hand as if dismissing their old agreement. "Extended."
"I could kill her," Dex snarled. "And then what would you do to get back your precious son?"
He glanced sideways at Andy, who was now on her feet too, hands balling into fists as if preparing for a fight that Dex wasn't sure he would actually win.
"Ah," Andy said. "But we both know how that would go."
She smiled at him mockingly. Dex felt his own hands curling up, the blades in his gloves begging to slip free and find their mark across her throat. Instead, Dex turned back to the general.
"She's plenty capable of doing this job on her own. I am not a babysitter."
He'd played his part. The job was supposed to be done. General Cortas raised a graying brow. "Do you want your money or not, bounty hunter?" So he was going to play it that way. Dex sighed.
"You have thousands of men and women at your command. Why not pick one of them to escort her? She'll probably eject me from the ship the moment we get out of range. You know that."
It would be an incredibly Androma thing to do.
Then you'd better stay alert, the general suggested. Do I get any say in who is coming onto my ship? Andy said, arms held up in exasperation, cuffs glowing bright. Dex whirled on her.
It's not your ship!
Finders keepers, Dextro.
Enough, General Cortaz barked out. He approached the camera on his side, his face growing large enough on the screen that Dex could see his eyes give a sudden twitch.
You can go with her, Mr. Ares, and get your money and stay in the government's good graces when the job is done, or you can leave here with nothing. Keep in mind that I am your greatest hope of being reinstated as a guardian. The choice is yours.
Dex was truly and thoroughly screwed if he rejected this job. Not only would he lose a cargo load of Krevs, but everything he had gone through to get to this moment, when he was so close to regaining his guardian title that he could almost taste it, would all have been for nothing. Not unless he played the general's awful little game and teamed up with the very person who'd gotten his guardianship stripped from him in the first place. His guts roiled just thinking of soaring away from here with Androma Rossella at his side, on board his ship, the very same one that she'd stolen from him 3 years ago when she left him bleeding on that moon. He'd survived, but she'd taken everything he loved. This time, he was looking forward to taking back his ship and blasting off into space, leaving her behind to watch it go, to feel what he had felt. He turned, slowly, to look at Andy. She seemed frozen, trapped, and yet he knew, deep in that mind of hers, she was coming up with some sort of plan for revenge against him. Dex sighed. This was a battle he'd lost against the general, but there was payment and his reputation on the line, two things he valued more than anything else in this life. He wouldn't go down without a fight. He'd caught her, just as he'd set out to do. Now he just had to keep her in his grasp a little longer until the job was done, and ensure that she didn't try to kill him again. So Dex Ares, the greatest bounty hunter in the Mirabel Galaxy, stared deep into Andy's moonlit eyes and winked at her as he said,
"It'll be just like old times, love."
Chapter 10 Lyra. There weren't many things in this galaxy that Lyra Meddy hated. A slow ship, though annoying at first, could always be altered to run faster, if she had the right parts and the right crew. A wad of expired moonshoe, though bitter as a cold Solera night, could still give her just enough of a buzz to lift her spirits during a dull flight. Even her captain's temper, which was as vicious as an electric whip, could be channeled into something that made the crew of the Marauder great. Terrifying enough, even, to make people quake at the mention of their names. But when it came to Dextro Ares, hate wasn't a strong enough word to describe Lyra's feelings. He was a merciless bounty hunter with no honor, a man who had shredded her best friend's heart and left her bound in chains, leading her to escape and take up a life on the run, a bastard who could barely call himself a Tenebran guardian after everything he'd done. She was glad he'd lost his title and his ship that night. "That fool will never be a worthy guardian," Lyra muttered under her breath, hatred swimming through her veins. The sensation threw her off balance. Hatred was a newer feeling to Lyra, something she'd always been taught to extinguish the moment it tried to flicker to life. But now, in this moment, she latched onto it. There were a lot of things she latched onto since leaving her home planet of Adhira. "I hate him," Lyra said, testing the words on her tongue. "I find that I hate him very, very much."
"Newsflash, Lyra. We all do," Breck said from her left, and though it was too dark for Lyra to see her crewmate, she could imagine the snarl on Breck's face. "We need to escape. We should be down there with Andy setting her free."
"And how do you propose we do that?" Lyra asked. The words weren't harsh, but rather inquisitive. Knowledge, along with peace, was another trait adherent citizens were encouraged to pursue above all else. The desire to learn and grow, questioning the world around them at every given moment.
"I think," Gilly said across from them, somewhere in the darkness. That we should shove Breck down the ladder and let her crush those patrolmen until all that's left is their awful souls.
There's a minor problem to that solution, Gil, Breck said. The cuffs.
The little girl huffed in response. We've gotten out of cuffs like these before.
Not with our captain imprisoned below, Lyra said.
All three of them were bound in electric cuffs, seated with their backs pressed up against the cold steel walls of the hallway that led to the ship's bridge. Bodies still littered the floor around them from the fight, the smell of death starting to flood the narrow space. Lyra's stomach quivered with equal parts disgust and frustration. She didn't believe in killing, didn't believe in taking lives senselessly, and sending the souls on to their next lives. That was for the Godstars to decide. Killing just wasn't the way of adherents. Many times growing up, Lyra had heard her aunt recite the words that bound her people to a life of love and harmony. Peace, stretching as deep as the roots of the trees of Aramea, as tall as the mountain of Rymor. But that was then, back on her home planet. This was now. And life on the Marauder was a very, very different sort of thing. It had changed Lyra little by little, marking her the way Andy marked death tallies on her swords. Lyra doubted her family would even recognize the girl she had become in recent years. And besides, these fallen patrolmen around Lyra hadn't been killed by her hands. Andy, Breck, and Gilly, sure, Lyra aided them in bringing down their opponents. What happened after that was for the other girls to decide. This was their ship, their home. The patrolmen had invaded it, threatening their hard-won freedom. And as much as Lyra's old self frowned upon her to think it, those patrolmen had deserved what they got.
Well, Breck asked, what's the plan, Lyra?
We wait, Lyra said, because for once her mind had drawn a blank. She'd never been separate from her captain on a mission. Never had to actually take up the title of second in command, especially not with invaders on their ship, and especially not while in restraints.
Like hell we wait, Breck rasped.
Down below, the sound of laughing guards trickled up through the hole in the floor where the ladder stood.
Mountain of Rymor, Lyra thought. How can they actually be laughing at a time like this?
There was no humor in Andy being captured, a prisoner to Dextro Arez somewhere on one of the lower decks, separated from her crew and facing the stars knew what. Even now, Lyra could feel the hole in her chest where Andy was missing, like a stitch had come loose in her heart, and soon she might unravel. The other girls, too. Blood relation or not, Andy was part of their family, and families were never meant to be torn apart.
Lon would agree with that statement, Lyra's old self whispered from the back of her mind.
She shook that whisper away. This wasn't about Lon. This wasn't about the past. This was about here and now, about getting free.
They would get out of this,
wouldn't they? Lyra racked her brain, searching for a solution, a way out, but she came up empty each time.
Gilly sighed. I'm losing feeling in my ass, you guys. I need to move.
Don't say ass, Gil, Breck chided.
But you called Dex one.
That's because it's his name, along with brainless bastard and soulless shite and...
The girl's words trailed off as Lyra retreated back into her mind. It was a silent place, calm and controlled, just like her hands guiding a ship's throttle, nothing but space and stars spread out before her. With her eyes closed, her head leaning back against the cool metal, Lyra cycled through the timeline of today's events, wondering where she'd gone wrong, wondering how she could have saved the crew from this fate. If only she'd flown the ship with more finesse. If only she'd figured out a way to enhance the rear thrusters, or shed more weight from the cargo bay, or... She clenched her fists. The blue scales scattered across the surface of her arms and neck began to glow a deep purple, shedding light into the cramped space. Steam rose from her skin as the heat intensified. Anger. An emotion that sidled up against the hatred like an old, cherished friend. Lyra hadn't felt anger in months, She'd always worked to control it, because deep emotions like anger led to a reaction in her blood, and that reaction led to Lyra burning holes in her clothing as the scaled patches on her skin got hotter. Lyra's brother's voice slipped into her mind again. "Anger is never your friend, little Buck." Damn the ache in her chest that came with it. Why was it always Lon's words that accompanied her in her darkest moments? Reminding her of home. Reminding her of another past failure. She focused back on the issue at hand. "We need that Solaran ice mare who tried to eat Andy's throat with her teeth a few months ago," Gilly said. "These cuffs would be nothing to her."
"The ice mares eat people, Gilly," Breck said, "not metal."
Lyra sighed. If only the cuffs on their wrists were made of rope. Then she could burn her way out of them and tear through the barrier of patrolmen below with her bare hands. She winced as her scales heated to a boiling point. "Lear?" Gilly said, the light from Lyra's scales illuminating her worried face. "It's okay. We'll figure this out."
"She's right," Breck added. "Just calm down before you exhaust yourself. The last thing we need right now is to lose you, too."
She plastered on a smile. Her teeth glowed a ghostly purple from Lyra's light.
"Andy will be fine. She's smart. And Dex is
an ass," Gilly said with a wicked little grin. Despite everything, Lyra laughed. Lon would love this child. If they ever got out of this, maybe someday Lyra would introduce the two of them.
"So what now?" Breck asked, drawing Lyra's attention back to her.
The gunner's nose dripped blood from both nostrils. One of the patrolmen had gotten brave and slammed her face with a rifle butt. He was now unconscious, thanks to Lyra's rapidly bruising fist. "We wait," Lyra said again, as her skin cooled as she locked the anger back into herself and buried it deep. "There is no plan other than patience, because if we move, Dextro's men will put a bullet in Androma's brain, and then we will be the cause of our own captain's death." It had taken everything in Lyra not to dive down the stairwell and stick a blade in Dex's back as he led Andy away through the halls of their ship. Even his posture had been smug. Lyra couldn't fathom, save for the possibility that he might have a stick up his backside, how or why anyone would walk that way.
"We wait," Breck said.
"We wait," Gilly echoed. And so the girls waited. And waited. For hours, it seemed, until Gilly, sufficiently bored, fell asleep, her snores echoing through the hallway. Until Breck's stomach began to growl, and Lyra stopped counting the minutes since Andy had been gone. 1,000 scenarios ran through her mind. 1,000 solutions, too, soon followed by reasons why they wouldn't work. They bit and tore at her as her scales lit up, dimmed, then ignited again. Useless. So incredibly useless, this ability. Lyra nearly succumbed to the exhaustion of wasted energy. Her eyes were just beginning to close, sleep tugging at her like a poison, when a voice pierced the darkness.
"Ladies?"
All three of them snapped to attention. The ladder below them clanged as someone began to climb up.
"Protect Gilly first," Breck whispered to Lyra.
"At all costs," Lyra agreed. Then a creature appeared, stopping about halfway up the ladder. It held a lantern in its fist, the light casting a strange, otherworldly glow on its face. Its body was made up of metal and gears and blinking lights behind a clear casing, like a skeleton clock. Its face was stark white, with strange, unblinking eyes. An AI.
"Who the hell are you?" Gilly yelped.
"My name is Alfie,"
the creature responded, his voice clear and clipped. Diplomatic.
"I am the personal assistant to General Cyprian Cortas, an artificial lifeform intelligence emissary, version 7.3.
As he pulled himself the rest of the way up the ladder and into the hallway, Lyra noticed a shining silver key clutched in his other fist. She could make her move now. She could set the girls free with the help of this strange new arrival, this fateful turn of events. The creature's white face turned to Lyra.
"Captain Androma Rosella has agreed to a deal with the great General Cortas."
"A deal?" Lyra asked, not taking her eyes from the key. Her body tensed, ready to spring. Andy hated General Cordas. He was the only person she feared in all of Mirabel. What are the terms?
Soon to be discussed, Lyra Metti.
The AI tilted his head, as if staring at something he could not quite understand.
But first, he said, lifting the key, the movement strangely smooth.